However, I've been asked to talk to you tonight about discipleship in the church. And I just wonder, how many of you guys tonight are involved in some kind of Bible study group or discipleship through the BSU here? Would you go ahead and signify that? How many of you downstairs? Yes, I see those hands. Great. There's a lot of you. What I want to do tonight is to give you some information in just a few minutes that maybe will help you translate that to a church whenever you get out of here. See, I don't know if you know this or not, but life in a church is a whole lot different than life here at the BSU. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? But I'm just betting that there's some others here tonight who maybe haven't made that leap yet, and I'm going to ask you to indulge me for just a minute. Because, see, understand something. Discipleship is basically sharing who you are and investing who you are in another person's becoming. Does that make sense to you? It's investing who you are into another person as they are becoming more and more like Jesus. I remember I was at a hospital one day seeing a very dear friend of mine who's here with me tonight. I was seeing his dad. And Dale, who's the brother who's here with me tonight, is as I seen his dad, his brother comes out and I spent about 10 years in youth ministry and I don't get freaked out too much, but I have to admit Daniel kind of freaked me out, man. He was a holy man. You know, he had piercings in more places than you could count. Thank you for the slow laughter. It does not get any better. But as we were talking there, man, I could tell Daniel was really troubled about some stuff. And Daniel and Dale didn't really get raised together, and they grew up kind of in different directions and stuff. And Daniel started sharing with me some of the things he'd been through. Not the same thing that probably most of you have been through. You've been involved in a gang. Been involved in some stuff that he shared that I just won't really get into, but it was just some bad stuff. And he asked me a question that I'm quite sure many of us have asked. He said, "Doyle, after all that I've done, what do you think that God thinks about me?" Anybody been there? I mean, I got the same question one night from a girl by the name of Maggie. She didn't exactly have the best reputation around. And Maggie, this girl who had really given away pretty freely what she should have kept, asked a similar question. And what she really wanted to know was, "What does God think about me?" I was able to tell both of them, He loves you. And He loves you just the way that you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. Right? He loves you too much. See, He finds us, and He finds us in this form that really we don't like ourselves sometimes. Matter of fact, I pastor a church. And in the church that I pastor, I don't know, let me just guess. I would say maybe 30 to 40% of the people are on some kind of anti-depression medication. You say, "Man, that's high." No, that's kind of society. And the church is no different. And that's not, man, that's not a downer if you need the medication. I'm just saying, I know there's a lot of people who aren't really happy with their situation in life. And I want you to know, regardless where you find yourself tonight, God is absolutely and fantastically in love with you. But He loves you way too much to leave you that way. And what discipleship is that we're talking about tonight, it's joining God in effecting a positive change in a life. You got that? It's joining God in effecting a positive change in a life. Understand, you have the opportunity to join together with God in forming somebody in the precious image of Jesus Christ. You know, I have to admit, it's kind of freaky to, you know, in our church we have a balcony. And there are people in the balcony, but I've never preached to people in a basement, you know, who are just kind of removed from everything. So, hey, you people in the basement, kind of yell every once in a while, okay? I just really wanted to see if they'd do it. This is great. I love it. I can't get my church to respond that much. Anyway, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture tonight that talks a little about this discipleship. And by the way, perhaps you're one of those people tonight who are wondering what God thinks about you. Maybe you think that you have done too much for God to effect a change in your life. Let me just say, no, you haven't. You haven't. God loves you so much that He desires to do a great work in your life. Now, by the way, let me finish out a story. I didn't get to lead Daniel to Christ. He didn't believe me. He didn't think that God could actually love him. But you know what? His brother did. His brother got to lead him to Christ because, see, Daniel saw God do in his brother, Dale, what he desired for himself. That's what God's about. God is about effecting a change to make your life better. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have life to the full. He wants you to enjoy God, enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy Himself. He's not some cosmic killjoy. He likes you to have fun. He's all for fun. He's the one who created it. And what you have the chance to do is to join God in teaching people how to really live life and how to live it the way that God designed in the beginning. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, Paul kind of gave his own testimony to disciple making in the church. See, there was this church that was kind of arguing back and forth over, oh, they were a disciple of this person and they were a disciple of this person. It'd be like me and Kels here saying, I said, well, I was discipled by Mike Story, and that's the guy who invested his life in me, who some of you guys have met. And Kels would say, well, I was discipled by Max Barnett. And by the way, he discipled Max Story, so that means that I am the man. And yes, you are. But listen, there was this situation going on. So Paul lays it all out on the table. And whenever Paul laid it out on the table, here's the scripture. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Now look at what he says. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We are his field. You are God's building. And then he says, according to the grace of God which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation. And another man builds upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Understand, there's some people who say, you know, I can't disciple because I ain't got the gift. I know I'm in an education setting. I'm not supposed to use the word ain't, but get over it. I live in Sepulpa. I ain't got the gift. Listen, there's no gift of discipleship. See, there is no gift of discipleship because it's not about you. It's not about what you do. You do understand that, don't you? If you're a Bible study leader, would you raise your hand? Go ahead. Can I share something just really, maybe earth-shaking to you? You're doing some good stuff, and I'm so proud that you're available, but it's really not about you in the long run. What it's about is God filtering His grace and His love through you so that you can join Him in what He already wanted to do anyway. And that's to love a person, but love them too much to leave them the way they are and affect a change in their life. Now, it says here, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. You know, like I said, I was discipled by Mike's story, and Max spent some time with Mike and invested his life in him. Now, I have a question. As much as I like and as much as I respect Max, is Max the one who started it all? No. Who did? God. God started it all. See, God loved me enough to put in Max's heart to spend some time with Mike's story, to spend some time with me. And some of you guys are here and you have the opportunity to get involved in Bible study groups and involved in one-on-one relationships with other people who also love God. And let me just say to you, do it. Do it, because what it's really saying is that God loves you so much that He wants something better for you. That what you're going through right now is not the best there is. There's something better around the corner. You know, this ought to bring us a great comfort. There's no doubt some in this room who have a great mind. Now, there's probably even a couple in the basement that have a great mind too. And you know what? There's probably a few in this room who, you know, have kind of a hard time staying off academic probation. Hello? And some of you in this room are just like me. You're just pretty average. You know, you don't have this intellect, that this IQ that blows past 200, but you know, you're just a little bit better than that IQ of 4. And you're somewhere in between there. Yeah, that's good news. See, because listen to what the Scripture says. One of my favorite Scriptures. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. See, the qualifying event in our life that makes us something that is so much greater than anything else we could ever hope to be is simply the fact that we have spent time with Jesus Christ. So, if you want a change in your life, maybe the change you need to make in your life is not your major. Maybe the change you need to make in your life isn't your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Maybe the change you need to make in your life is the amount of time, quantitatively and qualitatively, that you spend with Jesus. And if being with Him can turn the ordinary into extraordinary, that gives me hope. How about you? And if according to Scripture, I'm nothing, and if all I am is obedient to make disciples, will I fail? No, the Bible said God's the one who gives the increase. And if you'll be faithful to do the thing. Now, I hope you understand that in order to do this disciple making, in order to invest your life in someone else, what you really have to be is just one step ahead of them. You don't have to be eons apart. You say, but wait, I can't quote all 66 books of the Bible. Now, I don't know that I could do that in order anymore either. confession time. But what I know is that God takes us where we are and He allows us to influence others to effect a change. You see, in the local church, we've become somehow cloudy on this issue. We think that only the pastor is the one who can disciple. Or we think maybe it's super deacon. Or possibly it's some wise old sage somewhere that everybody clears everything with before they make a decision. But you know who God has placed the responsibility of discipleship on? You. It's your job. See, everyone who's been called by God is called to do this. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "All authority in heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And oh yeah, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age." Listen, maybe I'm a little radical on this one. But if you're not investing your life or having your life invested in by someone else, you're not the model of a New Testament Christian. Is that too harsh? See, because for us to be obedient, that means that we obey His commands. This is a commandment. That we would make disciples, that we would invest our life in others. And most of you guys in this room, you're doing that. Maybe you're in process. Maybe you're having your life invested in so that you in turn could invest your life in someone else. Maybe that's you. But just maybe. Just maybe. You're kind of caught somewhere in the middle. And yeah, you've taken this class and hey, maybe you've even went on a mission trip or two. I mean, you know, that's kind of the badge of the elite in BSU. I mean, those guys that actually, you know, go to a foreign field and eat rats. You know, on a stick. Amen, John? John went to Malawi, and they have this great delicacy there. It's rat on a stick, and they don't gut it. Everybody with weak stomachs can now exit to the right. But see, and we think that if we go on this trip or do that thing, we've accomplished and we've arrived at some kind of level of spirituality. You know what the truth is? We never arrive at the optimum level of spirituality. It's a process. It's you and I who are willing to invest our life day in, day out. Jesus Christ said it this way. "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me." Think about it. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. Now, so it's not about your ability. It's not about your education. It's not even about your comfort or about your convenience. It's not about you. It's really about whether or not you choose to abide in Christ. Now here's the second thing I really want to share with you tonight. You are both the builder and the building. You are both the farmer and the field. You say, what in the world does that mean? Look at verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Now let's break this down for just a minute. Here's what I believe. Here's where I believe that a discipleship, the rubber of discipleship meets the road. Look at what it said. This is what we call a reflexive in the original language. You are fellow workers with God. Okay, now, think about that. You join God in what God is doing. Whenever you're discipling another person, you are actually joining God in their spiritual development. Greatest calling, highest calling you could ever perform. But now look at it. What is it you're building? Who's the building? Look at it. You tell me. You are. Who's the field that you're plowing? You are. I understand. We're a co-laborer, one version says, with God in this task of building ourselves. You see, the most important person that you have to be concerned with is you. You are joining God in building yourself. Do you know what never happens? Now maybe this happens at your house, but it doesn't happen at mine. God has never like so possessed my body that whenever I choose not to pick up my Bible and have a quiet time, that He just kind of drags me over to it and makes me pick it up. See, I have to choose to co-labor with God in the development of me. Does that make sense to you? I have to choose to do that. Why? Because, see, God still gives me the choice of whether or not I desire to mature. And He doesn't shove Himself down my throat. Understand, if I'm going to be a disciple, then a disciple maker, the number one person I have to be concerned with is me. I have to be concerned with my spiritual growth. I have to be concerned with my time with God, my intimacy with Him. And understand, I can only take a person as far as I'm really willing to go myself. Here's the real question, and this is where we're going to make a shift tonight and kind of begin to close down. Do I really love you enough to allow God to work on me so that I can invest my life in you? Do you hear that? Do I really love you enough to allow God to work on me so that I can invest my life in you? That's a question that we constantly have to face in discipleship. Do I love you enough to keep growing, to stay ahead, so that I have something fresh to bring you, something fresh to offer you? This trait is caught, not taught. I learned to make disciples because somebody loved me enough to allow God to grow them up, to invest their life in me. And I didn't hear about it in a book or by a speaker. I saw it in the weekly commitment of Mike. And I heard about it from afar with Max. Where does this fit in the local church? Just quickly. In the local church, you must join God in working in you first. You have to have something to bring to the table. That's that intimacy with God. That's your relationship with God. And then we follow the model of Jesus. See, He met with His men all the time. He took advantage of every opportunity to impart them the things He heard of His Father. One of my other favorite verses is John chapter 15, verse 15. He said, "I no longer call you slaves, for the slaves does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." In order to make disciples after college, you have to be willing to invest your life in a person. How do you do that? If you have a pen, write this down. Number one, look for the person who is hungry. Look for the person who is hungry. You know, the person that kind of hangs out with you, who wants to spend some time with you because they like who you are and they like what God's done in your life. By the way, this especially includes new believers. See, they haven't learned they're not supposed to get fanatical about Jesus yet. So, for sure, invest your life in them. The second one, if no one appears hungry, create a situation where they'll be exposed to you often. Here's what I believe about you. I mean, the crowd I'm looking at here tonight, here's what I believe to be true. I believe there's something in your life, in your relationship with God, that is attractive. How do I know that? 1 Peter says so. But sanctify Christ in your heart. And always be ready to give a reason when people ask you about the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect. Number three, Be willing to flex your schedule to meet theirs. Most of the men I disciple are working men. Most are businessmen or people who are very loyal to their job. I have to meet with most of them early in the morning. When people see that you're willing to invest your life with them one-on-one or in a small group and they see that you're giving up your time, listen, they're going to honor God and they're going to honor you and they're going to show up and they're going to do it. 4, keep in contact with a person. It's kind of like being a spiritual parent. See, I have 2 boys. The names of my boys are Ian, who is 5, and Nathan, who is 3. Our house is a rat race most of the time. And what kind of dad would I be, though, if I never checked up on them or let them know I love them or I never encouraged them in any way? What kind of dad? Wouldn't I be pretty sorry? Listen, whenever you're seeing to the spiritual development of a person, you have to invest your life in that person just like a parent. You have to. You have to give your life to them. The 5th thing, have a plan. Don't show up without a plan. Let that person know that you care enough about them to have a plan about their spiritual development. You want to see them grow and you have a way to do that. Some of you, I understand, are going through one-on-one with God, which was written by Jerry Fine. Great plan. We use Operation Multiplication and Master Life, 2 other great plans. But have a plan, whatever it is. 6, expect the person to reproduce. Expect the person that you're meeting with to reproduce. I mean, Dale's here tonight, and you know he's just a good friend, and he's a co-laborer, and boy, I'm not his discipler, and he's not my disciple anymore. He's doing it too. We're just kind of equals here. But you know, from the first time Dale and I started meeting together, he knew that, listen, whenever we finish, you got to do it. You know what he's doing? He's doing it. Man, he's not meeting with 1 guy or 2 guys or 3 guys. Individually, he's meeting with 4 and about to start number 5. Why? Because he saw the vision of the difference that God can make in a life. And he found out that God loves you too much to leave us the way that we are. Last, be willing to make a long-term commitment. Be willing to make a long-term commitment. And by the way, ask for a long-term commitment. Anybody who spends time with me, I ask them to commit to me for a year. Now that's not because I'm some wise old sage with a long gray goatee beard thing, you know, who can sit in the lotus position. Matter of fact, I tried that. That hurts. But it's not that. What it is that the things that God did in my life didn't happen overnight. And they won't happen in your life or in their life overnight either. You need to ask for a long-term commitment. Now, some of you in this room, you're going, what in the world has this guy been rambling about for the last 20 minutes? What's all this about? Let me give you, for those of you in the room who are maybe just wondering, maybe you're a first-timer. You're saying, what's this all about? What's life all about? What's church all about? What's BSU all about? Well, let me give you the first thing. It's all about love. It's all about love. That you would love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. That you would fall absolutely crazily in love with Him. Second thing, it's all about grace. It's not only all about what Jesus Christ has done for you, but it's also all about the way you interrelate with one another. If you're a first-timer, have you kind of seen how some of these people are just sickly close to one another? You know? I mean, it's almost like they maybe like each other too much. That's called agape. It's where God allows us to have a relationship with each other in ways that, according to the world, isn't natural. We love each other unconditionally. It's all about love. It's all about grace. Here's the third one. It's all about Jesus. When the focus of your life is Jesus, you have no problem understanding the concept of love and no problem living out your life in the life of grace. If you give your life to Him, you'll understand all that. The last one. It's all about you. It's all about what you are going to do with the information that you've been given. It's all about what you do concerning spending time with God. It's all about what you decide to do about investing your life in another person, either here on the campus or in the local church. It's all about whether or not you choose to put yourself underneath the leadership of some of these godly men and women who really are prepared and quite equipped to minister to you. Here's the big one. It's all about whether or not you decide to give Jesus Christ control of your life. Now, I'm a pastor. It's what I do. I'm in a church situation every week. We see people who by the glory of God are changed and their lives are transformed. And I know that God can do that. And what I want you to do for just a second, okay? Just bow your head and close your eyes. God really desires a change. See, the thing I know about God is, everyone in this room, regardless who you are, He loves just the way that you are. But He loves you way too much to leave you that way. And I'm wondering if some of you in this room are just realizing that for the first time tonight. And if that's you, if you're that person, why don't you tonight, just right now, give your heart to Jesus Christ? You do that by just confessing that you're a sinner. He loves you just the way you are, so don't think that you're going to shock God. Just say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sins. Please forgive me. Now would you come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior? I believe that you rose from the dead and that, Jesus, you are God. I want you to have control of my life. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something as soon as this is over. There's going to be several of the BSU workers here, or maybe you still have your card with you. Maybe you just write that on the back of the card and say, I decided to accept Jesus. And man, they'll know how to get a hold of you according to that card. But whatever it is that you need to do tonight, maybe it's to commit to a Bible study. Put that on that card. I commit to being in a Bible study next semester. Maybe it's to be a discipler. What a great calling. Thank you, God, for the folks in this room, that you love us all just the way that we are, but that you love us too much to leave us that way. God, tonight, may we join you both in the BSU and in the local church doing what you called us to do by making disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.